Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is the new artistic director of Living Arts of Tulsa. Jessica Borusky is a performance artist, independent curator, and educator who most recently worked in Kansas City, creating and performing her own work, teaching at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and curating projects like Art in the Loop, a public art program in downtown, and Flesh Crisis, a performance art program that presented local, national, and international performance artwork. She's shown her own work throughout the U.S. and Europe, has lectured extensively on contemporary art practices. She's educated at Tufts University in the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and was the founder director of Alt Lecture KC, a monthly nomadic lecture program that paired a local and national artist to discuss art practice and issues surrounding art making. Borusky became the artistic director of Living Arts at the beginning of the month, following the 26-year tenure of Steve Liggett. She's already curated her first exhibit, Sense Vessel, Stimulating Porous Experience, featured Tim Brown and S.E. Nash's work, which is closing today. She joins us to talk about her vision for the next chapter of Living Arts. Jessica, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And welcome to Tulsa.
Thank you for having me.
So what interests you in this Living Art position? This Living Arts has been this incredible institution in the city for contemporary arts at a time for much of its history where Tulsans really didn't embrace contemporary arts. That has certainly been changing over the last decades. A lot of that is due to Living Arts. What interests you in the position here?
I feel like there's a lot of tributaries that led me to Living Arts. Part of it is my own background with an MFA in basically performance art practice and gender studies, which I did my studio practice through the School of the Museum of Fine Arts. And Boston, for about the length of time that Living Arts has been up and running in Tulsa, Boston has Mobius, Inc., and the artist, professor, superhuman that ran that, Marilyn Arsum. When I moved out to Kansas City, she was one of my mentors, her and Tony Schwenson, advised me to just start doing performance art in Kansas City. And I would go back to Boston to show work or to create work at Mobius. And I was recommended to look at Living Arts because it was another space that elevated the conversation of performance art practice here in the middle of the map. Around that same time, a colleague, collaborator, family member, and artist, Sarah Hill, was actually in the New Genre Festival a few years ago, asked me to come down and do documentation for Sarah. Sarah Hill and I and our other collaborators, Bug Davidson, Haley Morgenstern, and Creighton Baxter, were part of a collective, The Highest Closet, and often in our practice, we work on documentation for one another to share our stories.
And so, documentation, you mean?
Video, photo, writing, different ways of thinking about documenting performative practice. And so I came down, and that was the first time I saw Living Arts, was exposed to the New Genre Festival, and I thought, this is great. And as we discussed, I myself had been curating performance art festivals in Kansas City with a bit of a different form. And I had also been working with the Oklahoma Visual Artists Coalition as a curator and writing fellow. They had done a program. I was in the second class of this, and this was partially funded by the Mid-America Arts Alliance. So some of us from Kansas City were mm-hmm. invited to be part of this. So I had all these ways that I was engaging around and in Tulsa. I was able to co-curate some performance works for Main Site Gallery at Norman. And so I was just kind of getting a sense of actually how open and how ready the audiences in Oklahoma were for performance practice. So then when this position came up, I was recommended to apply by several people. Several people emailed me because they had known both my academic studio practice, curatorial and writing practices, right, mm-hmm. In performance and said, you know, you should apply for this job. And at this point, within my work in Kansas City, I had been doing so many different things that this job felt like a perfect match because it does require all of these different components of artistic vision, pragmatism, grant writing, getting people excited about things that they've never seen before.
Sweeping up.
Cleaning things. I put wheatgrass. I was throwing wheatgrass away yesterday after the talk, you know. And So I felt quite suited to this position because it allowed me to bring all my seemingly disparate but not disparate components together under one roof for one vision.
Now, you've been doing a lot of different things in Kansas City. You alluded to it a little bit, but you've been teaching at UMKC and KCAI, the Art Institute. You've been doing a lot of curation, independent curation for exhibits. You do a lot of public art curation for Kansas City and doing your own art as well. So will you still do your own art here at Tulsa, or will it be more of a curation and artistic direction for the center?
So this was a question that was asked when I was visiting here for my interview. The short answer is that I will be focusing on living arts. That's a decision I stand strongly by. That being said, anyone that's listening, or if you know, if you're an artist, you don't turn it off. It
right.
doesn't go away. So there are things that I am learning about Tulsa that will inherently inform my practice. There are things that I'm learning about myself that are inherently informing my practice. A colleague of mine who I brought up briefly, Sean Starwitz, who's now at the City of Bloomington and also a studio artist, mentioned that when he got his position with the City of Bloomington, it took him about a year to start getting into the groove, understanding his rhythm, and then feeling comfortable to get back into studio. And though my practice is not a typical studio art practice, I don't sit down and create a painting within a framed amount of time. I will read, or I will go to a weird historical museum in the middle of nowhere and look at how the museum is displayed. I sketch in different ways, which is to say I create small videos or something. So my studio practice is of a different nature. And I do think the way that and anyone that's a performance art practitioner would probably understand this, that we have a different way of working. And so I also think that that is well suited. And I do also have colleagues around the world that are arts administrators, run museums, and that have a performance practice. So there is a way that it can be integrated that looks and feels a bit different than a traditional studio practice.
Right.
But the short of it is I'm here for living arts. So yeah.
You mentioned the new genre festivals. I know at this point you're just getting your feet on the ground, but do you feel like new genre is going in the right direction? Or what are some of the ways you would like to put your own personal stamp on the organization? I guess that's the bigger question.
Yeah, right now,
I'm in week two. Yeah, right.
What I'm doing is program assessment and exhibitions assessment. I'm getting a feel for how things have worked on behalf of the artists that have been part of these programs each year, and including fundraising, what's worked, what hasn't, from various perspectives. Again, the artists that have been involved, audience members, people from the community, et cetera. One thing that I would really like to do across the board is to build stronger partnerships within and among different communities, arts organizations, other nonprofit organizations, and even small businesses within Tulsa, in order to allow certain programs and exhibitions at Living Arts to really flourish. One of the lessons that I learned from Kansas City is that Kansas City is a very integrated community. The arts organizations really want to help one another out. Small businesses want to show local artists. Local artists are trying to buy each other's work. Fundraising people come out for. And I think that, again, there are things that I learned from that experience that I'm really excited to bring to the table at Living Arts.
Do you not sense that as much in Tulsa so far? Or it's maybe too early to say.
What I've learned already is that people are very excited to work with Living Arts for program development, for fundraising development, and they're excited about my willingness to really bridge hands across the table. And I want that to happen not only in terms of what we show on the walls, but also in terms of having conversation behind the scenes in order to bring that work to life, having conversation behind the scenes in order to bring programming to life as it relates to an exhibition, and to let those relationships really become sustainable. So as I've mentioned in other environments before, so that everyone feels invited to the party. And I'm hoping that that creates accountability across the board, and it might find itself in all kinds of friendships, relationships, where in which artists, viewers, partners all feel connected to programming as a whole, because this raises the arts ecology here in Tulsa. And obviously, Tulsa is known for philanthropy. I mean, this is something that's nationally known about Tulsa. But there's all kinds of different levels by which that works. And I am interested in Living Arts being a place where a lot of people feel seen, heard, and safe, and that happening on various levels within the operations of Living Arts.
So when you're talking about collaboration with other arts organizations, mm-hmm. and I assume that means a variety of performing and arts disciplines, is that talking about opening your space or how exactly?
So,
creating maybe thematic programming across the community.
So I think that on the one hand, it means opening your doors, right? And this is part of Living Arts' mission. Living Arts has been doing this. It's been opening doors for whatever art wants to be shown. And I think that's a really great model. But I think that it also means, how does the entity of Living Arts act as a facilitator for certain communities to also feel as though they have a voice and a place to share their voice and to show their voice, and Living Arts, again, being a facilitator or conduit for that, so that it's maybe not front and center, but gives certain certain projects the platform and the space and the support to really shine. And it's not that I think that that hasn't happened or that I haven't seen it, but that's the perspective that I want to have on that. And that's from the kind of like larger vision role, which that ties into, but is a bit different than, say, what I will curate, right? What that might look like. But that kind of thinking about partnership or community engagement, I do think is that seeps into all kinds of programming. It's not just special projects, right? It's how are we considering some of these things with each conversation that we have about each exhibition and each program. How do I help committees at Living Arts? We have several different committees. How do I help each of them really open up and diversify their programming, who they might be reaching out to, in order to make that program really special and really engaging and, again, sustainable with who they're touching and working with? It's a bit broad strokes right now.
Right.
Again, because I'm so new, but for example, the event that we had last night, which was part of the show Sense Vessel, the program that we had last night, the exhibition conversation, I asked some folks from Pure Food and Juice to speak with the artist Essie Nash, who incorporates fermentation into their sculptural practice, and Carla Grog and Chef Matt from the Reserve and Grog's Green Barn to come out and to have a conversation about food. Pure Food and Juice talked about food as medicine. Essie Nash talked about their artwork. Carla Grog and Matt, Chef Matt Owen, talked about their project with community, local farming, farm to table, really farm to table, because they have this kind of community table at their restaurant. And that allowed us to have a conversation more generally about food and health practices, the aesthetics of food and the body and health and presentation of food. And we also had food from those spaces.
Right.
And so then it was this great conversation where we were collectively in shared time and space engaging and actuating the content and material of the conversation. And so programs like what happened last night, I'd like to see more of, because they're interdisciplinary in nature and they open up what it means to be creative, what it means to have aesthetic content. And it brings people who may not have otherwise walked through the door at Living Arts to come through Living Arts.
Yeah. Do you feel that this exhibit, Sense Vessel, you know, using fermented food as sort of this grounding point for art, is bringing people from, say, food movements or for farm to table into the gallery?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, what I've experienced when I've done kind of interdisciplinary conversations is that you do get this interesting cross-section of people who, and we all know this is how it works, you come for your friend,
yeah.
and then you might stay for the conversation. And mm-hmm. I think that was palpable last night. People were there to support food person X, food person Y, but then everyone was around the art. Everyone was talking about something, a new thought, a new idea that came to them due to the context and the environment. Now, the other component of Sense Vessel is artist Tim Brown, who has the light installation that's in the corner gallery. And Tim gave his talk during the opening, but the way I sort of bridged that was that we might understand sensory conditions, vessels of both the gallery space, vessels of our body. In Tim's space, it was thinking about light and shape as it is reflected through and with the body. Tim actually, you know, is kind of a post-light and space movement artist, and spoke quite eloquently about his relationship to both that movement as it is in the U.S. and also as it is in South America. And he actually draws more from the South American side. And then Nash as kind of these more literal vessels that have this sensory element that then we take into the vessel that is our body. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way that I consider my curatorial practice is, how do I have an instinct? And this is, I think, relates to art practice. I have an instinct about a few different artists, and then I sit with that and determine what's the meeting point, what's the thread, and then I kind of build a show off of that and then build programming off of that. So Tulsa is likely to see that work with certain mm-hmm. programs mm-hmm. that I curate, and particularly with the New Genre Festival. My plan is to revamp the program a little bit to bring more performance into it. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, which I'll, you know, be unveiling in the next few months, it seems super crazy, but by God, it gets orchestrated and it works. And and again, this is in vain of living arts, right? Right. But I do see threads. I hold steady to those threads. And the aim is, can I facilitate an experience well enough that my audience also can find those threads and then threads of their own between the different works within a singular space.
My guest today is Jessica Borowski, the new artistic director of Living Arts of Tulsa. She's already curated her first exhibit for Living Arts, The Sense Vessel, Stimulating Porous Experience. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You mentioned that one of your mentors was at Mobius in Boston and was sort of a superhuman. You're sort of succeeding a superhuman in our own community, Steve Liggett, who
True.
Really goes all the way back to Virginia Myers and the very beginnings of Living Arts. That can be sort of daunting as far as this sort of long continuing thread of Living Arts. You know, you're going to put your own stamp on it, I'm sure, but is that sort of a gradual change or are you jumping right in?
I tend to jump right into anything yeah. that I dedicate my time, space, and energy to. It's not worth it if I don't, mm-hmm. right? When I moved to Kansas City, I knew one person, and I dove right in. Again, I had only lived in Kansas City for 3 years. I didn't grow up there, and I am diving right in with Tulsa as well. I've kind of had this open table where, you know, when I meet people, I say, you know what, just email me, and I'll go ahead and make time for you and meet with yeah. you and just get to know you. So being Steve's successor is not daunting as much as it is. I have a great amount of respect for not just Steve, but the entity of Living Arts, because as we know, it takes so many people with shared vision and shared interest and desire to make a thing work, especially when it's a nonprofit, and especially when it's a nonprofit that is basically saying, we're going to show the weirdest stuff that, you know,
yeah,
just the stuff
cutting
that
edge,
nothing
yeah,
else can.
Right.
And so I have a great amount of respect because what it's done, it's kind of nice to come into a community that already knows what, say, performance art is, and that being different than experimental dance, experimental theater, experimental music. That's really exciting to me because when I came to Kansas City, that wasn't the case. It kind of feels great that I can have certain conversations because Living Arts has paved the way for that and has really created an audience that has a knowledge base.
I'm going to follow up on something you were sort of alluding to, the fact that it's the weirdest things sometimes you put on. Is part of the mission to not only really connect with people who are viewing and seeing this art, but also to leave at least a few people scratching their heads?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
To be honest, you also have to do that with the people who seem to know everything, too.
Yeah, to seem to get it, yeah.
Yeah. I prefer to enter an art space in which I have to ruminate on it. You know, if I get it in the first go, I'm not interested. You know, why? If that's the case, I suppose I could look at memes all day or something, right? But I don't. And so I think good artwork challenges us, and that the quality of challenge looks different for every person because we all have different life experiences. And so what might feel challenging to one person just doesn't to another. But absolutely, I think it's important to scratch our heads. I think it's important to not get it, to not know it, to not own it. There's humility in that. And that's an important experience within art.
No, one of your gigs in Kansas City was doing public art. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times we think of public art as you're supposed to get it at the first glance. Is that the case? And and do you anticipate that maybe Living Arts will be doing more public art as opposed outside of the gallery space as opposed to within the gallery?
Yeah. So the world of public art is a world unto itself because you have structures that are, and through this job with Art in the Loop, the Downtown Council and the city, which I'm so grateful for because, again, that was one where I just dove right in and then got a wealth of experience. There's different kinds of public art. So there's public art that is permanent, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff that I don't know if Tulsa has a 1% for the arts program.
We do.
Right. So if a new...
It's usually controversial. If it's really something interesting and good, it becomes controversial.
I think that's true. I think that's true for... And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. You want to have conversation. But right, there's those structures that you do a request for qualifications, that there's a whole process that's involved with that. That's pretty standard nationwide. And then, so while I've been on panels for that, selection panels for that, what I was doing each summer in Kansas City was semi-permanent works that were often, Art in the Loop would often be the jumping off point for artists that were maybe studio-based artists that this might have been their first experience doing public art. So my role was to really mentor and to work with artists to think about all of the logistics that go into putting your stuff outside. It's just weather to begin with, right?
Right. Will it hang?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Will it stay? What materials are you using, et cetera? What is your content? How do you, and I say this often, what is the entry point to get people to look at it? And then what content or theoretical backing do you have behind it to let people stay and want to spend more time with the art object? Because with public art, you do want people to be able to notice it right away when they're in transit, when they're walking past. But what can it offer the environment that it lives in order to change the relationship that an audience has to an environment that they engage with every day? And so this is where I call the difference between plop art and art that responds to its condition. And as Tulsa is going through its own kind of city transition, you know, Kansas City was starting to do that prior to even my moving there. And this program, I think, was really part of that. So works would be up for the summer. They would come down. And so that's a whole nother thing is that you get a little bit more wiggle room when it is ephemeral, more or less, you know, semi-permanent ephemeral than you do if something has to stay there for 25 years. But it was successful for a few reasons. It was successful for people that lived and worked in the downtown area of Kansas City because they perhaps may have seen their everyday environment in a different way. It was successful because Kansas City, like Tulsa, is really building up their tourism. And so it was something that could be added to if you were there for a weekend for something for the Sprint Center.
Go see something.
You could also see something else.
Yeah.
It was also important for artists in Kansas City because they were building out their portfolio in a completely different way. They were able to develop relationships that may have led back to their gallery practice. So someone who may never have walked into the gallery could have seen their work, and there could have been a relationship there that would have started a, you know, gallery exchange or something like that. So I see curatorial practice to also intersect with pedagogical practice, and especially with something like public art in the way that, again, we were really working with emergent artists. And part of that is, you know, how much money you received in order to make the work. But for some artists, this was the first step actually to their public arts practice, right? Because they got experience again and again with it. So, and I see that as teaching, and I see that as a shared kind of learning teaching moment, both on the artist end and then on within a viewership. So going back to Living Arts, there are ways in which, because I agree with you, I think public art is a contemporary conversation. And many artists are branching out to what their work might look like in different spaces, different communities, different audience types in order for them to reflect on their larger practice. So I can see Living Arts beginning to incorporate more public art work. I think that Living Arts actually already does that with programs like Day of the Dead or Art Car. Those directly engage the community. There is no question. That is ways in which Living Arts reaches out of its doors, right, and does that. But I think there are other more nuanced forms and ways in which that can happen. And going back to new genre, I think also offering artists the opportunity to say, you can perform outside or we can set up space in the parking lot or performing down Brady. So there are ways in which I want to incorporate it as we are building out our exhibitions and programs, opening it up to, as I think people here in Tulsa know, that Living Arts does an open call for art, you know, each year, and then it goes through the exhibitions committee. I would love to see some people propose public artworks through Living Arts and for us to facilitate what that might look like. So absolutely, it has been a part of my curatorial practice since being in Kansas City. It's obviously, it's not on the top of my list right now, but I would like to see that kind of weave into what Living Arts does.
You know, one of the big things Living Arts has been doing throughout its history, but certainly over the last few years, has been having important conversations about the community. And just in the last couple of months, very important exhibitions and conversations about race, about immigration, about, you know, these very important issues to the community. Is that something you feel is critical to Living Arts mission?
Critical, paramount, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting because I was talking with a couple of awesome ladies the other night about, you know, we talk about the term that often gets used as social justice. And that term can sometimes hold certain qualities to it. And so we were actually talking about, like, what does it mean or look like to also think about social equity? And this is where, going back to kind of the beginning of our conversation, saying, how does Living Arts really stand to that? Because it's in the mission. It's in the Living Arts mission. How does Living Arts hold true to that within its structure? Not just special exhibitions, but how does Living Arts reach out to certain artists, reach out to certain communities, reach out to certain businesses to let a lot of different people be at the table to talk about even programming generally? Or as I've been thinking about it, how do those projects stop being called special projects and just are part of our exhibitions, right?
Right.
That shift alone, I think, speaks to a commitment toward, and I'll say it again, social equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, it is critical and it is paramount, and Living Arts will continue to have that as one of the focuses of the entity of the organization.
Well, we look forward to the results. Jessica Boreski, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jessica Boreski is the new artistic director of Living Arts. To find out what's coming up next on the Living Arts schedule, visit their website at livingarts.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.